cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. Hi. Hello. My name is Ben Karpinski, and this is the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com on this beautiful day, which is the 7th of August. And Gareth is going to be with us today, I think. Nolo, is that correct?
I believe so, yes, Ben.
Right. I don't know where he's docking at the moment, but he left Portugal yesterday, and I think he might actually be a full day at sea. So with that in hand, we'll join him relatively shortly, I guess. Yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nolo, as lovely as your smile is, it can't be heard. So that's very good. Yeah, so it's a Tuesday. Of course, it's a very short week for us because what's the public holiday this week? It's Women's Day, right?
That is correct.
Nailed it. And that would be on the Thursday. So what we're going to do is we're going to take Friday off as well, which I hope you don't mind. If you do have any strong opposition to this thought, this theory, this plan of attack, well, then you're welcome to let us know. Look, ultimately, you're probably going to ignore it because we've already made plans. But 079-748-2090. That is the WhatsApp line. There's, of course, the Telegram line as well. So if you want to chat to us today, then you get stuck into that. We do have a phone line, but it's effort. It's a lot of effort we've got to commit to. A bit of a crackly number. Oh, wait, Nolo, you know the number?
Yes. The number to dial is 0861-555189.
Okay, so
that is the number to call.
In honor of Nolo actually knowing the number now, I suggest you do call us. So you can chat to us about anything, don't worry. We're generally quite open, nice people, because after all, this is a hybrid kind of radio show. You can phone in live, you can do all that kind of stuff. Don't send shout outs, that's 90s. I'm not going to play you a song. But it's a radio show, essentially, and then you get to listen to us as a podcast, which you are doing right now in the comfort of your life, somewhere along the line. I'm looking around the studio. I can't see Sia. I'm sure he's going to appear.
Yeah.
I can't see Leanne. I'm sure she's going to appear. You know, life's a box of chocolates, huh? Look at me. Sitting here like Forrest Gump on a bench.
You're stuck with me, Ben. What are you going to do?
Nah, I'm not stuck with you. You're in a different room. I'm... Yeah, so please get in touch as you feel fit, and we can chat and we can take this day forward. But yes, on the show today, we've got, oh, look at that, there's a call straight away. We're trying to save paper at the studio at the moment. Okay, I'll get back to Nolo in a second. But today was going to be more of a musical show of musical interest, so our guests are on that line. Nolo, do we have this person put through? Okay.
Yes, I did, but I'm struggling to print for some reason.
Yes, I know. Oh, sorry, who's that? Okay, there we go. Running order. So today we've got some musical guests that are going to be joining us a little bit later. We'll get to that when Sia sits down. I'll give you more insight towards that. But yesterday, if you missed the podcast, in part two, we had a very young, interesting young guy called Brandon. Now, what Brandon does is he develops games. It's got to the point, I just want to get this off my chest at the start of the show, that we don't ever mean to be negative or really harp on too much about politics and the state of South Africa and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, the land issue is a big deal. But we also can't deny these things that happen. So it's a kind of message that comes from time to time. You know, people are tired of hearing about the politics and politicians and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I am too. But unfortunately, it is the world we live in. But yesterday was so cool on that to get someone in, just like a bright young mind who's doing really cool things and just applying himself to something he's always wanted to do. So if you ever wondered how games are made, whether it be console games or app games, stuff you can buy, like, you know, Candy Crush and all those kind of things that obviously are a really big deal. Well, Brandon is he's a developer, and at the age of 16, he's already developed two amazing games, and his dad came in, super proud dad, you can just see. And it's just so cool seeing when young people, they don't worry about race, religion, any of that kind of stuff. They just go about doing what they think is cool. And this guy's making a success of himself. I think his app was, his game was downloaded in 137 different countries. So if you feel like you're not really adding much, or you feel that you could be doing more, well, you never know. Your calling could be out there, and it really is just like, it's that close. I just really felt like that guy should be given more of a sort of what do you call it, praise for what he's doing, which is really, really impressive. So, Jimmy Kimmel. Now, we often play clips from him on the show because what he does, or he does very well, is that he goes out into the streets and not in a recreational or in an extra income sort of sense. No, of course, he just goes out there and he gets the insights of people. So we played a variety of clips over time. I found this one quite interesting. The most impressive things you've ever done. Now, we just spoke about Brandon, of course. He's making these games and he's doing a really impressive thing with his youth, not just spending it playing games and smoking guff, which a lot of kids do, apparently. I didn't do that, but, you know, see where I'm going with this. So these are some of the most impressive things that people have done.
In case you didn't know, this is Nobel Prize week. I hope I get one for that. I really do. This is the week during which the greatest achievements in science, medicine, literature, and peace are rewarded with the same amount of money Kylie Jenner makes in a weekend. The winners of the Nobel Prize get $960,000, a diploma, and a gold medal. Now, the short list for the Nobel Prize for Peace, the big one, includes Pope Francis, Edward Snowden, and I think Dennis Rodman. But the Pope is the heavy favorite. If the Pope does win, I really hope he remembers to thank God in his acceptance speech, because that, talk about Oco Taco, right? I mean, Nobel Prizes, I think, are a fine way to honor those who've achieved great things over the course of their lives and their careers. But what about the people whose achievements aren't great? What about the people whose achievements are just good? We wanted to shine a light on them tonight. So we went out on the street and we asked pedestrians today to share the most impressive thing they've ever done. And, well, this is what they did.
What's the most impressive thing you've ever done?
I got married.
To who?
My wife at the time, and then I got divorced.
So that's not that impressive, is it?
That was impressive at first.
But then less impressive.
Now it's not so that impressive, yeah. Right.
What's the most impressive thing you've ever done?
Saved a cat once.
Saved a cat?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, it was just running along the road, saw it, put a foot out, saved its life.
So it was running in the street, you grabbed it.
Well, I sort of shunted it, really, more than grabbed it, yeah.
Right. So you kicked a cat.
Well.
That was the most impressive thing you've ever done.
I wouldn't say I'm, you know, proud of every aspect of it, but, you know, it survived and it's still going strong, so yeah.
Oh, okay, Fatburger. I ate one of those big Fatburger. I got my picture on the wall for that. That was pretty impressive because it's hard to do.
The most impressive...
I'm watching this and I'm thinking, like, this is actually a very tough question just to be put on the spot with. We'll get to some suggestions now, and you can obviously share yours, what your most impressive thing is. But these guys are all really battling.
The thing I've ever done was probably, all right, so we walked in. Okay, it was my senior year, and then we wanted to do a senior prank, but we couldn't because we wouldn't walk. So we went to the gym for the last rally, but we got there like an hour before. And then we arranged all the seats into a... like a big penis, man. It was fun. I mean, the trip the teachers out when they walked in, it was like, what? But it was funny, though. It was funny.
I crossed the ocean with motorcycle. Yeah.
You drove a motorcycle in
yeah,
the ocean?
Right. Was it?
How did that work?
It was like, it's a water motorcycle.
Yes.
It's a kind of, what is the name of it?
Water motorcycle.
Right.
Probably stood up public speaking at my school.
What did you talk about?
We just do this competition, so every year we pick a topic and...
What was your topic?
Fashion crimes.
Fashion crimes?
Yeah, fashion crimes.
What's a fashion crime?
Socks and sandals.
Impressive thing I've ever done? I don't know, cheat on my boyfriend, not have him find out.
You know, this is a television camera?
Yeah, it's an old boyfriend.
But he's finding out right now?
No, it's an old boyfriend, not the one I'm with now.
So, but this is, the boyfriend is finding out on television right now.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Sorry, Ben.
Why'd you cheat on him?
I don't know. The guy was a famous athlete.
Which famous athlete?
I can't say his name.
Give us his initials.
TJ.
What sport does he play?
Hockey.
What team does he play for?
Florida. Tampa Bay.
Okay, so he plays for Tampa Bay. His initials are T and J. Tyler Johnson?
Okay, I have to go.
Wow, that's... Sorry, Tyler.
Ah, busted. But see, I mean, like, it's quite a thought process. Like, what is the most... If someone had to say to you, just microphone in the face, what's the most impressive thing you've ever done?
I would love to say something life-changing and massive. The most impressive thing I've ever done.
It's hard, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I would suggest you all play this game today. Just ask each other, ask your friends, or just ask yourself if you like your own company. What is the most impressive thing you've ever done? Nola, does anything come to your mind?
I don't know if it's impressive, Ben, but...
Well, but this is the great thing about it, because it's a personal thing.
Mm.
We all have these sort of strange metrics in place that we think we must strive to, but sometimes, like that guy said, he saved a cat.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I think I'd reference something at school, like one of my marks or doing well in an exam. I don't know. What's the most impressive thing you've ever done?
Okay, so I was a bit of an overachiever at school, but I don't think that's like impressive because everybody could do that.
No.
I think...
Sorry if you people can do
no.
that.
No, man.
Your modesty clearly the most impressive
no,
thing.
No. I think my most impressive thing would have been... Yes, it's back in Cape Town, right? I grew up in Cape Town, as you guys well know. I was getting robbed the first time it happened. That was 2012. And I was getting mugged by two guys. I successfully fought them off. And
nice.
Nothing was taken. But I was stabbed in the process.
Jeez.
Yeah. No.
But you are Miss Dojo Tai Chi Taiwan.
Not Tai Chi or Taiwan. You're now being kind of racist and inaccurate.
What do you do?
If you want to say Thai, say Taekwondo.
That's the one. Karate? Judo?
It's karate, so yeah, Japanese karate.
Okay, so if you're standing outside the Clip Central Studios right now thinking who you're going to mug, it's not Nolo, okay? You've probably got more chance with me or Sia. To be honest, it's probably going to be Sia.
But that's the thing, you know, I look harmless. I look like a lady most
no,
times.
So. You do look like a lady, Nolo, but you don't look harmless with your vape pen and your metal addiction.
Why did you decide to get into, like, martial arts?
She grew up in East London. Can we give it some... I think leaving East London is also in your top three things.
Impressive things.
I was four when I left East London, Ben.
Those are called formative years. I mean, you were so strong even back then.
No, guys.
It's a funny thing, really. I grew up with boys. I was friends with boys. And it started off as a hobby. We would go to the dojo, train, and learn all these cool kicks and punches and things. And they started falling off, you know. I don't know, for some reason, I got addicted to the pain. It's weird. I don't know. I guess I fell in love with it.
That's great. It's normal. Trust me. As humans, we try get away from conflict and we try get away from that kind of stuff. But that stuff in our primal brains turns us on. I'm not saying in a sexual sense. I'm saying in a turns on kind of thing.
Hmm.
Well, Lubabalo is saying here in the messages that the most impressive thing he's done is building his mom a house.
Okay, that's...
Yes, we can just end the game right there. Okay.
It's not a competition anymore. It's done. That's really impressive.
I've really got to think of this. I mean, I know I've done some impressive things in my life. I also know that I've absolutely wasted so much of my time. But it's like a personal thing. Like, not all of us have landmarks like Mr. Nice Guy here, Lubabalo, who's just blown his wallet out of the water.
I've taken initiative and made my mother breakfast in bed.
I like to define my life, Sia, as a series of impressive things. You know, yesterday I did something very strange.
What?
I buried a stray cat.
Wait, you sent us this message and I thought you were joking.
See, okay, so when I got home yesterday, yesterday I had a busy
day. I'm not
day.
Laughing at the dead cat. Okay.
Yesterday I had a busy day. I had to go and do a whole bunch of things and pick up some things. And as I got home, I saw there was a dead cat on the side of the road, which obviously, I mean, I'm a cat person. It was horrible to see it. My first thought is it Meowsers? No, it wasn't Meowsers. Okay, cool. So that was my first thought. And then I literally had a drop of a bag, pick up another bag to go and get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bike life, it's a mess. And I thought, like, Shane, that's someone's cat. Or it's not someone's cat, it's just a cat. And now, Daniela actually told me, my girlfriend, who's fine, by the way, after I dropped my charger on her face.
Okay, so she's awake and she's conscious.
Yeah, she said there was an accident outside the house and that's how the cat died.
You ain't no.
But this poor cat is like on the side of the road. So I got home. It's still there. Okay, this cat's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Big cat. Just going to put it out there. Big cat. Like, it's just going to be left there. Like, it's the most horrible thing. So I went and got a big black bag. I mean, it's not something I've ever done before, so critique me if I did this right or wrong. I went and got a big black bag. The cat was at the stage, so it was very stiff, and it'd obviously been dead since the morning.
Mm.
Thankfully, it hasn't been eaten away or anything like that. So I put it in a bag and I took it inside our complex. This is going to work well with the body corporate. And I borrowed a shovel and I found a place to dig a grave for this cat. Digging a grave in August, hard ground. These hands have gone through it the most.
Really not laughing at the situation.
But I know, but this is an odd thing. Like, I didn't wake up yesterday expecting to go and bury a
dead. Do you know whose cat this was? Did you ask around?
There was no collar. I think the time for asking had maybe gone, seeing as the cat's no longer with us. So I dug a pretty big hole. And the weird thing is, like, next to where I found this kind of discreet place, like, these guys are building. They're building a house or a school or something. So there's like six workers. And the thing is, they've got to the stage of the building where they're on the second floor right now. So they're minding their own business, going about their ways. And some guy just starts digging a hole for a package. It must have looked like the weirdest thing to them. So they're trying not to look, but they're looking.
CSI Johannesburg?
Cat wasn't that big. I mean, you could see it was a small animal. And then I dug and I dug for like half an hour to what I thought was a relatively deep hole. And yeah, I buried this cat. I'd never seen the cat before. It was like I said, a big fucking cat. And yeah, that was that. And I felt so sad.
But do you know what's so interesting? We spoke right at the beginning about doing impressive things, and you said you don't know. Well, this is kind of impressive.
Well, like
it is impressive. Well, because you weren't implored to. No one asked you. You did it on your own accord.
I just think like all living things are entitled to some form of dignity, I guess. And this poor cat would have been, I don't know, if I'd left it there, it probably still would have been there. People would have like looked at it and driven past it, or I don't know, it might have been picked up by the rubbish like on Wednesday.
Oh, jeez.
And then just thrown in the back of the truck, eaten by birds or whatever. So yeah, this cat, and I don't know if it's anyone's cat or if it was a big stray cat. I mean, who knows? Just but yeah, having to do that, it's just a weird thing. Because it's a very definite thing what you're doing. You're burying a cat.
Mm.
You're not just like, you know, having a jaw in your garden.
Oh, Ben.
And then I covered it up and I put some stones and some branches. And then I walked away to, I'm sure, the utter shock of all these people who are building the school next to our building.
Now I feel kind of sad. Okay, moments of silence.
And then I got back and then obviously I saw my cat's healthy and happy and I felt good again about life. But that's just like, you know, this whole thing. These things happen and life's pretty shitty and someday you could just get knocked over and die.
Benjamin, could you have...
But we're here, we're still in the game. We're still in the game of life.
Could you finish that story off on a bigger, better high?
Well, the bigger, better high is that we are still here.
Okay.
And that is what's happening.
Jeez, okay. You see, okay, so you don't have any neighbor drama anymore. You've sorted that out.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
So also another good thing to look forward to. So here's something that I was dealing with yesterday, and I wonder how many people relate. What's your hosting etiquette? Like, what's your hosting 101 when you have people over?
Offer them a drink as soon as they get in the door.
And then how long are people allowed to stay in your books? Generally. Okay, so you've hosted people, perhaps you're having a braai, and people stay over a night.
Well, we don't really entertain. I mean, we have quite a modest abode, I would say. Mm. We're not really entertaining people because we don't feel comfortable doing that. But yeah, family comes over. Daniela's parents stayed for like 10 days once.
Oh, jeez.
and yeah, so we don't really have criteria. I guess we have all our friends are kind of older. And no one we kind of invite ever wants to have sex with us. Because that's what happens with you. You said that guy wouldn't leave.
But don't make me sound like Madame Juju at the Purple Pleasure Palace.
I'm not making you sound like anything. It's just that sometimes you've had guests, and you've said it on the show openly, that then you've got to like kind of tell them to leave, and then your sister then entraps you. And
because I just realized I got back home yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, and I still have guests over from Friday. And now I'm trying to get to that point where I'm saying, this is delightful. This has been great. But can you get to the door? And I don't know how to.
But you know what this says about you, though? Is that you're far
too pushover.
No, you're far too good of a host.
No, I do think it is a pushover thing. And once again, we've spoken about this briefly on the show before. Being a pushover, people do take advantage of that, but you don't stand up for yourself. And I think that's... I'm to blame to a certain extent, but it's just one of those awkward things where I'm now sitting around going, hey guys, this is amazing, it's fantastic, but you know where the door is, right? And you know how to leave and to get up. And yeah, I still literally have two guests left from the weekend, and I don't know
how
to get them out. I love them, great people, we've had amazing times.
But like, do these people just not have jobs, or they don't want one, or they're just living the life? Or,
well, the one has strategically taken 2 weeks off. I just realized it as I said it. The one has taken 2 weeks off starting last week, so they could easily just be chilling, and then for the great 2 weeks. And then the other is a sales rep, so they don't have strategic work hours. They're just at work for a couple of hours, and they're on the road as well, but they're just now chilling at my place.
Are they buying groceries?
No,
you must tell them to piss off then. Michelle said that she conquered her fear of heights by doing a commercial dive course and jumping into the sea off a 10-meter wall. That's a pretty impressive thing to do, Michelle.
Oh, jeez, Michelle.
Yeah. Mfundo says, my most impressive thing was to abandon stupid FM radio.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want to share your most impressive thing, because we've all done something. Mm. You know, Sia's going to go home today. He's going to kick these.
I am going. He's going to kick these layabouts out,
and that'll be his most impressive thing for this week.
And you know, on Michelle's point, and remember, I did that whole year of yes thing, and I was trying to challenge myself and do these different things. I have even more admiration for people who do things like that, because that's insane on another level. Don't think I can do it. So if you're able to jump off 10-meter walls and feel good about yourself, yeah, that's quite impressive.
Oh, did I show you that bungee video that I put up on YouTube?
You did show me a bit of it. It was quite a throwback of like your DJ Ben K days.
It was back when I was 18. I put a video on my YouTube channel. It's at Follow the Bounce. So I found my brother found this old VHS, which he converted, and it was on this flash stick. So going back to most impressive things, like, I have a massive fear of heights, and I still do to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And we jumped off, we did this whole bungee jump, and I've actually got like full on footage.
When was this? What year?
2000.
Uh-huh.
It was the year 2000, and I was 18 years old, and I had like, I don't even know what was going on in my hair. It was kind of blondie tipped, and I don't know.
Everyone went through that phase around the early 2000s.
And I had like a chubby face, and... I looked happy and smiley. It was quite something. You should go have a look.
I have to say, if people aren't living through your throwbacks, then you need to reevaluate your life, because you posted something a couple of days ago on your Instagram as well.
Oh, wow. I've actually got a video. Yeah, okay. Jeez, I'm just punting everything I do at the moment. So if you haven't seen the picture, go on to The Bounce on Instagram. And you'll see a picture of me DJing. This is proper DJing days, okay? So back in 2005, when I was a DJ, I was a force of nature. That was me. I'm actually wearing a shirt that says Tsunami on the front.
Ooh,
not let me see this picture. So there's me, okay? So this is the JBBit after party. It was a big jol back in those days. Like, there was only one after party. Mm. Nowadays, I'm sure they're all scattered, but there was a huge, so like, big sound stage. It was a big 5FM party. So it would be like Roger Good or some other big name, and then I was the guy who played after that. So there's a picture of me tsunamiing it up, and then I got both my brothers standing behind me, and then a very young, fresh-faced Gareth in like a white Don Johnson jacket. Such an odd. And then, see, I've actually got video footage, which I'll put up on Instagram maybe today.
Mm.
Like, what me actually DJing, just jumping around. I'm probably hammered.
Personally, do you know what I loved about the picture when I saw it? Is the expression on your face. You look so focused.
I got into it. I was the most hands-on focused DJ. Like, I loved it. Like, it was my Joel.
Please carry on with your throwbacks. They are everything to me right now.
I'm going to start throwing more onto YouTube. I've got old footage, and maybe I was always meant to make videos and stuff like that. I mean, maybe that's my most impressive thing. I committed to making some videos. Yeah. Mikhail says, Ben, that sounds like the start of a bad horror story, you burying that cat.
Yeah,
pet cemetery next to a school. You are dark. I don't know. What else was I meant to do? Like, did I do the wrong thing here? Did I do the right thing?
No, you did the right thing, but just in a It's a sad thing to do.
Okay, we're talking about throwbacks. We're going to talk about a throw four today. We're not turning a blind eye to, I love this, the importance of sleep.
Mm.
Even though we're living in times that glorifies working and always being on the move, today we want to highlight why we need to be sleeping more. Every Tuesday, don't turn a blind eye to issues that affect all of us. Make sure you download the podcast on clipcentral.com now. Don't Turn a Blind Eye To is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Find out more on the cliffcentral.com website. Yeah, so we often speak about the importance of sleep, and it's one of those things that we quickly forget because it's like a work deadline or we've got like a function to go to, and then before you know it, we're back at square one. We've all tried this. Me, Gareth, Sia, Nolo, everyone who's kind of worked here, we've all had this notion. And we've always spoken about it. So today, we're actually going to really plow into it.
Yeah, and this is a good one because actually Gareth recorded this just before he left and he spoke to Dr. Jonathan Witt about it. And if you don't really get the points just from us and general people chatting about it, well, once you have a doctor's perspective on it, you definitely have to listen. So we do this every single Tuesday. And so, yeah, we'll be playing that out in a little bit after 7.
And you don't get a more upfront or frank doctor than Dr. Witt.
Well, yeah.
He will give you everything you need to know. Speaking of things to know, you need 5 things to start your day. And Sia, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, bro. So remember last week with the whole hashtag total shutdown thing with a lot of women who were marching?
Women abuse and violence.
Well, shucks, there was some odd drama that came out of it. So the first thing that you need to know this morning, the National Police Commissioner, Kehla Sithole, says that action will be taken against police officials who opened up a criminal case against the organizers of the total shutdown march. Now, it emerged yesterday that a case of public violence was opened at the Sunnyside Police Station in Tswana. Now, thousands of women marched the union buildings last week and they were handing over a memorandum to the president asking that he deal with gender-based violence in the country. But now Sithole ordered the case be closed, calling it unfounded. The National Police Commissioner says that the initial police report handed to him on the march did not include any transgressions by the protesters. Police spokesperson Vish Naidu says that Sithole has described the case by police as a complete surprise. And a direct quote, they say, "We'll conduct an inquiry to establish why this case was opened, why there was a contradiction that was provided in the one report, and suddenly now there's a case open." Naidu says the cases opened by some of the protesters against police are being prioritized, saying that the National Police Commissioner has instructed that these cases, and there are at least 4 of them, be given the priority that these cases deserve. But yeah, President Ramaphosa vowed that steps would be taken against police officers who manhandled marches. So yeah, quite the irony that these people were marching against violence and violence broke out at these marches, and now there's all of this drama surrounding that.
Sure.
Yeah. Going to Hollywood, some of you may care for this, Demi Lovato and what she's recently been going through. Well, now, the singer, Demi Lovato's team are reportedly, her team are trying to pull her away from her toxic friends. Now, she's only 25 years old and she was released from a hospital last week following a suspected overdose almost 2 weeks ago. And although she's accepted that she's fallen off the bandwagon of sobriety, she's planning to seek help in rehab, and her management are determined to make her journey back to sobriety as smooth as possible by getting rid of anyone in her life who may be encouraging her to drink or dabble in drugs again. Now, a source told news reports that Demi's team held a meeting last week to discuss separating her from toxic people in her life once she gets out of rehab. Demi will also be advised to change her phone number and only give the new number out to a select group of people in a bid to sweep up the negativity from her life.
This is sad in a couple of ways. Obviously, when you're this young, going through this is obviously it's quite dreadful. But now she's going to lose all her fun friends. I don't mean that in a dodgy sense. It's just that without these people are fun. They're toxic, but they're fun. And now she's going to have I'm so bored.
But if they're no good, they're no good, hey?
It's true, yeah. But let's be honest. The people who have the most fun in life are generally the ones who don't make the best decisions.
Fun is one thing, you know. being into drugs and almost dying several times, and you're only 25, that's another. But Demi has now spoken out for the first time in a while on social media. She's written that, "I've always been transparent about my journey with addiction. What I've learned is that this illness is not something that disappears or fades with time. It is something I must continue to overcome and have not done yet." So, yeah, at least she's being very candid about that.
Okay, well, yeah, all strength to her, huh? Nola, what do you think?
I don't mean to be a judgmental bitch, but... But isn't... can you really blame friends for the choices you choose to make?
No, I totally think you can't blame them, yet they are a part of the process.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... let's say, for instance, you are of a porn addiction, and you like drinking at a certain strip club. It's like... you can't blame them, but you shouldn't really go there. So it's all just facilitators, I guess.
But essentially, it's a personal decision,
it
right?
It is. So yeah. You know what? We'll take that judge. It'll be fine. We'll not be disputed right here. You're clear.
Sticking with the story of the death of Kensani Maseko, who's the Rhodes student.
Yep.
Well, now, yesterday, Rhodes University says a notice to suspend the alleged rapist of Kensani Maseko has been issued. The university says investigations leading up to Maseko's death will continue. Now, it's understood she committed suicide after she was raped in May this year. She was
They only really want to punish the rapist now. Is that what the story is suggesting?
The university taking action now following her death, but also I don't really blame them on taking action now because the rape happened in May and Kensani didn't say or do anything since then.
Right, okay.
She thought she could handle this on her own and she couldn't, and then she committed suicide recently. So I don't know if the university really could have stepped up and done anything because they didn't even know when it happened. Yeah. Kensani was a third year BA student at the institution. Now tributes and messages of condolences have been pouring in, and someone from the university, Luzogo Jacobs, says her death underlines the pervasive scourge of gender-based violence in society, saying that the university, working with the South African Police Service and the National Prosecuting Authority, is pushing for an inquest into Kensani's death. A notice to suspend the alleged perpetrator was issued this morning, which is yesterday, on the day that Kensani was due to meet with the support and investigating team. Yeah, I don't think this is the last we're going to hear of the story, quite frankly.
Yeah, but again, it's a story, and I always believe if one of these stories is in the news, there's 100 out there that aren't. So it's not exactly like this the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. I think a lot of young women are going through this kind of trauma, and you never know how to deal with it. So like you said, she thought she could deal with it, and credit to people who think that, because we all want to be strong in our own way. But shit, I mean, we speak about depression, we speak about these kind of things. It is all consuming.
And my only fear, and I feel like this case is going to spiral into this point, is the fact that Kensani isn't here anymore to speak or to comment on what happened or how she felt or whatever the case is. There is someone who's now involved, and you know, the rapist, or the alleged rapist rather, is the only one who can speak about this, and then action will be taken. I'm not saying it's undeserved or deserved, but it's just going to be a nastier case than I think it should be. But yeah, does that make sense?
It does, yeah. It makes as much sense as we can make about these kind of things. Unfortunately, they're very difficult to kind of get it on top of.
Yeah. Well, going to Cape Town now, the South African National Taxi Council has suggested it won't be able to concede to a demand from a striking taxi group in the Western Cape. Why does the taxi industry always have so much drama? The Minibus Taxi Industry Task Team, which represents provincial taxi organizations like the Cape Amalgamated Taxi Association, commutes about 70% of taxi passengers in the province, embarked on a strike yesterday. It's demanding the national taxi umbrella allows a provincial elective conference ahead of a national conference on the 14th of August. All of these talks about talks. Yikes. The task team says that the Western Cape taxi industry has been without effective leadership for more than 5 years. The group's Bese Tundungane says provincial and local government, as well as SANTACO, which is the association, have ignored legitimate concerns about the lack of leadership. He says they have had to take their matter to court, and let's just see what happens with that. I say all of this with all due respect, that all of these conversations have to happen, but ultimately, yeah, all of these commuters will be stranded, and they're the ones who'll be screwed over most in this process, sadly.
Yeah, unfortunately, the taxi industry is quite a dark industry. It's hard. It's a tough industry, and a lot of gangsters are living in it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because think about it, it's a cash-based business. I don't think the taxi organizations contribute a lot to SARS. So, nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there'll be talks and talks and protests and protests.
Regional conferences before national conferences. But sticking to Cape Town as well, a cold front brought widespread rain to parts of the drought-stricken Western Cape yesterday, with light snowfalls forecast along the Cape Fold mountain belt from the Cederberg to the Swartberg. The rain is likely to spread to the southern Cape today, so look forward to that, folks. Cross fingers and thumbs around that. Now, this early August rain comes after a below-average rainfall in July. The South African Weather Service warned of strong northeasterly winds over parts of the west coast yesterday, blowing between 45 kilometers to 60 kilometers. So, Western Cape, there you go. A little rain. Why won't you? And those are the top five things you need to know today.
Thanks very much, Sia. Those are five interesting things. We'll have five more interesting things tomorrow as well.
And the next day. Well, and the next.
Yeah. Yeah, so we need to get into the sport. Thanks for your messages. Sorry, I kind of missed a whole chunk of them yesterday. We kind of got busy and a little bit sidetracked, but we do care, and we do appreciate all the interesting feedback that you have. Vince, in particular, yesterday had some very strong points, but yeah, let's go on. If you want to message us, 0797482090, either WhatsApp or Telegram, and we can crack on from there into the sport. And with Super Rugby now done dusted, we are now looking ahead to the Rugby Championship. So the first match we need to look out for will be August. Oh, I've got the wrong thing. Damn it. I was so strong there. I really was. I had the wrong screen up. And anyway, South Africa go into this, of course, with a newfound figure and hope and potential and positivity because, well, with Rassie Erasmus, they believe they can do a lot of great things. And first match will be Australia versus New Zealand. So that'll be 5 past 12 on the 18th of August. So, yeah, that is not this Saturday, it's next Saturday.
11 days away.
11 days away. Yeah, we're very good at this calendar thing. The first time South Africa will run out will be at in Durban. They take on Argentina. Then basically the Hagawadeth national team. So that'll be at 5 past 5. And then from there, well, South Africa then do obviously the trip to Argentina. So it's the same format every single year. Basically the Australasians, they hammer it out together. And then we play Argentina home and away. And then into September, obviously South Africa goes on tour, blah, 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 blah. So the important thing here is that Eben Etzebeth is back. Warren Whiteley will be back. There's a lot of good players. There always is a lot of good players in this whole Springbok mix. It's where we find the pieces of the puzzle. So with Eben Etzebeth back, of course, big leadership comes back because he was the Springbok captain. Same with Warren Whiteley, was Springbok captain. But Siyokolisi will be retained as the Bok captain, and I think for good reason too. There was a good momentum that came by and good sentiment and good spirit, if nothing else. And these things do count for something, at least I believe so anyway. But also another added experienced selection there is of Francois Lowe, the guy who's been playing in England for quite some time, the dynamic loose forward who's just been such an amazing rock whenever he's been called upon by the Box. He'll be back. Of course, there'll be no Dwayne Vermeulen for this rugby championship. He's still got to honor his contract elsewhere. So he won't be in this this Box sort of squad and time period, but he will obviously be back domestically and internationally after this. So that's all very, very good news. There are some other new inclusions. Guys like Kyle Brink are going to be in the mix. He is a young talented loose forward from the Lions. And with that, Malcolm Marks comes back. And is Loazi Mvovo was also back. So there's a big squad that's being thrown around at the moment, which obviously they're taking place in Stellenbosch. What the guys do is that they have this big sort of preamble, and then they sort of whittle it down to who's going to be in the team, who's going to be in the mix. So there's still a huge amount of quality in this Bok team, and I'm so, so excited about this rugby championship. I really am. So we'll get into that as we move closer. But in rugby news, it seems that John Mitchell, who wasn't going to go, and then he was going to go, and then he wanted lots of money for the Bulls for new players, well, it looks like he's actually going to go. So in shock news, the BBC.
Shocking.
It's not just, not like shocking from Die Bild or Rapport. The actual BBC have said, no, that's not the big black cock, it's the British Broadcast Corporation. They've reported, they've reported that, no, this is the interesting thing about the story, they've reported that John Mitchell will be leaving the BBC, the Blue Bulls company. Everyone's got a BBC here. He will be leaving. So England, of course, have been looking for a new defensive coach. And Mitchell was involved with England back in 1997 to the period of 2000 under Clive Woodward, Sir Clive Woodward. So John Mitchell, of course, has been an absolute journeyman as far as being both a player and a coach. He's travelled the world. Many people say that you've got to question this guy's loyalty. I always find that bollocks. You know, you're looking to make money. He's a professional, if nothing else. So he's had opportunities. He's gone for them. And if you go work in England with this whole camp, you're going to get paid big money. I think job security is pretty solid. You're going to be playing, or you're going to be competing against the best in the world. He's going to be working with the greatest resources known to rugby. So who wouldn't want to go to that? Who wouldn't want to go to that when you're at the Blue Bulls and it's not going so well? And you're living in SA, and he's not from here. So you've got to kind of think that this is a no-brainer for John Mitchell to go and do. So who is going to take over the Bulls coaching jobs here? That is the big question. The big question. People are saying that, you know, maybe it's time for legends like Farida Pria and Victor Matfield to really get it right there and bring the crowds back to Loftus and get the hiss and the pride going again. For me, there's only one person that can do this job, and it's Jimmy Stonehouse. Stonehouse by name, Stonehouse by nature. This man is built like a brick shit house. He's got a pretty impressive coaching career. He's been in Japan for the last 3 years. I think he was particularly strong with the Pumas, or one of those teams that play out like a mining town. And I think his trajectory has been perfect to now go and be part of the BBC, the Blue Bulls company, and do great things from here. So that's my bet. If there was any sense in this world, then I'd make lots of money on these kind of things, because I believe he's the only person that can take over. They need a hard man. They need a guy who's going to basically give his heart and soul. And they thought they were going to get that from Mitchell, but it didn't really work out. No hard feelings. We must all just move on. Into cricket, Faf du Plessis is out of the remainder of the Sri Lankan ODI series. He's got a dodgy shoulder, which I think means Quinton de Kock becomes captain. Nobody is convinced by this whole theory, because he was obviously vice captain, and he was captaining when Faf went off the field in the third ODI, with many people saying that, of course, Quinton de Kock can't really count that well, so he doesn't know when to put the bowlers on and how many overs they should bowl. That sounds a bit harsh to me, but that was the general consensus that I picked up online. So he's going to then pick it up, and well, the series already won for the Proteas, so they now have two matches to be hugely experimental with what they do. And with Faf not being there, then someone can step up in the whole leadership thing, because leadership is a massive part of sport, in any sport altogether, really. In other cricket news, it seems that Ben Stokes is finally getting his time in court. So, you know, there was that big brawl that he went out, he got hammered, him and Alex Hales. Alex Hales was getting a gobby. He was then fighting with people, and it was just a general boys' night out in Bristol. They just won a cricket match. They went out and they were shit-faced, and boys being boys, and people with inflated egos being inflated egos. So Ben Stokes and Alex Hales, they wanted to get back into. Now, this is the beauty of the story, is that in the beginning, we only heard like 20%. And of course, there was the CCTV footage of him decking some guy and knocking him out. Big like street brawl, and you see that they were drunk and just had no remorse whatsoever. So how the story now goes, now that we actually seen this thing unfold in a court of law, is that Ben Stokes and Alex Hales want to come back into the club. The bouncer said, I'm sorry, the club is now closed, not taking any more people in. Ben Stokes then tried to bribe him with £60. £60 then became £300. Oh. But the doorman, Andrew Cunningham, said no. Piss off, you ginger.
Piss off, you what?
I don't know if that made the court records. So then he started getting mouthy. Stokes was then ridiculing the insulting the bouncer's gold teeth and tattoos, which just goes to show you're drunk. You don't insult a bouncer. You don't insult a bouncer about personal effects. And then these two gay guys then came out of the club. And then it was seen that Stokes was openly mocking the gay guys and how camp they spoke. It's all from the court transcripts. Furthermore, it was seen that Ben Stokes flicked a cigarette at one of the gay gentlemen's head.
Mess.
So you can kind of see what's going on here. Some stereotypical, immature, boyish behavior. But then these other two guys came out, and then one of the gay guys grabbed this other guy's groin. So then that dude then swung at the gay guy with a bottle. Ben Stokes then saw this happening, then climbed into the guy with the bottle, thinking he was attacking the gay guy. And then from there, the fight ensued, and then Ben Stokes knocked a guard and fractured an eye socket, and then knocked another guard with, and then it was just a mess. So, these are the role players in this story, this ridiculous story, is that Ben Stokes was first mocking these people about being camp and obviously a homosexual nature, and then he sort of went from villain to sort of semi-hero by then trying to defend this guy. Why this guy was grabbing this other guy's crotch unprovoked as well. Listen, I mean, there's layers to this story. There really is. I mean, see, this is very strange behavior. I don't care what walk of life you come from. Grabbing another man's genitals, swinging with bottles, abusing doorman. I think everyone.
Strange or just not even classy behavior?
Everyone here is.
Far from classy.
Everyone here is a bit of a loser, but they're all pleading not guilty to just being a bunch of dickheads. So that's still going to be in court, and they'll pick that up again today. Imagine being the judge going through this crap. You're thinking, really, you bunch of tossbags. You're wasting the court's time. Really, just get out of here. All of you, just get out of here. In golf, it's a really huge week for golf because it is the 2018 USPGA Championship. Now, this is the fourth and final major of the year. And it is the major, obviously, you heard, run by the PGA. So you'll get golf pros, like actual club pros from around the world, have an opportunity to qualify for this amazing event. And, of course, then play with the greats of the greats. It's also the major where you have the unconventional sort of grouping of the three majors champions of the year. So you'll get Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka, and Francesco Molinari. They'll all be teeing up in customary fashion because they are the current major holders for the year. Tommy Fleetwood will be playing with Satoshi Kodaira and Mark Leishman. Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, and Adam Scott are also pairing it up. But I think the most anticipated grouping of all of this is going to be Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods. I hope Tiger doesn't put his back out trying to keep up with these guys off the tee, but that is going to be an electric threesome to watch. That'll also be Henrik Stenson, Danny Willis, Pat Perez, Ricky Fowler's playing with Hideki Matsuyama and Ian Poulter, and Phil Mickelson, Jason Day, and Keegan Bradley are all playing together. They're all past champions. It's just the best of the world are going to be there at Belrive, so I'm bloody excited about that. But more closer to the time, that's pretty much all the time we've got for sport today. Sia, I think we need a bit more positivity.
Well,
wait.
Then positivity you shall get.
Hang on. Oh, I forgot to say that Rossi Erasmus believes that Elton John is very much his second choice fly off. So if 100 Pollard goes down, Elton's in, and we should stop abusing Elton. That was your sport. Now it's just Sia.
This morning said by Sia is just a big halala to a Cape Town officer who was so quick thinking and saved a 3-year-old girl. This girl was left in a hot closed car near Grand Parade on Sunday morning. Now, IOL was the first to report on this incident. They said the quick thinking of Nontsikelelo Kalimali, who's the traffic officer who found the little girl. They said that the child was found distressed, sweating, and with her nose running in the back of a Toyota Avanza at around 11:30 a.m. with no parents in sight. Officer Kalimani managed to calm the little girl down before breaking down the passenger side window to retrieve her from the hot car, where it is believed that she spent most of the morning while her caretakers were actually attending a church gathering. So I do not know what exactly happened and how you leave the child in the car when you know you're going in for a church service, but what sort of adults are you if this is what you do? But for something that could have turned and become so negative, thank goodness for the officer, the traffic officer who was there, Nontsikelelo Kalimani. So this morning I just wanted to shout her out for her quick thinking, just for what she did and for potentially saving this little girl's life. The case, which has been open, is currently still being investigated, but the reality is that really this little girl is lucky to be alive, because who knows what could have happened, really. Stats have now shown that there is no safe amount of time to leave any child in a car alone.
That's just a terrible thing to do. I mean, what message is it sending just socially?
Well, isn't it just like...
You stay here.
Common sense 101 as well, though.
Exactly.
But if you need stats to prove it, here you go. The temperature in a car rises rapidly in the first 30 minutes, even on the coolest of days, and children tend to heat up between 3 and 5 times faster than that of an adult's body. So if you see a child locked in a car, like, come on, let's be have some sort of common sense around this, and we do something. We don't have to bash the window like this officer did, but we can call the necessary authorities and we do something about it. But yeah, who knows what could have happened to this young girl, only 3 years old. Shucks. But big kudos to this traffic officer, Nontsikelelo Kalimani, for being an absolute rock star.
It's a genuine sense of community where you can think about that and obviously be quick on your feet and realize what's going on.
Mm.
But also, like, people, I know it sounds crass, but this is why you shouldn't, this whole having kids willy-nilly, some people just are never cut out for it. Because these people might not have even done it, they probably have no understanding about what they've done.
You do not, though, leave a kid in a car.
True, but they thought they were going to go worship Jesus, so what could really go wrong? You know, there's a lot of people who just don't put two and two together. See, they don't have that rational brain, therefore shouldn't really be parenting.
Well, it's too late to have the child now. You have to take care of it.
Yes, but they mustn't have more children.
Well, hopefully.
I know, Nola, you got my back, huh?
I have to agree. I'm sorry, Sia.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. I am not disagreeing at all.
I know you're not.
Never mind. That's just said by Sia for this morning.
All right, what's happening? Are we chatting to Gareth today?
Is he answering? Okay, we don't know. No, he's not answering. We'll see.
That's so weird. He's normally just so reliable with all of these kind of things.
Oh, the shade of it all, Benjamin. Never mind. Can I do something else then on the show regardless? You know, like, we're always creating these different shows on cliffcentral.com, and today we're actually premiering a new podcast series.
Nice.
This is one to definitely pay attention to and to listen to. Well, the question really is, what does it mean to be a man in today's world?
Good question.
No, there is a lot of confusion about this and a lot of anger directed at men. We have these hashtags going around. Well, now
all men are trash.
There we go. Well, now let's get into a proper conversation around it. Well, this is a conversation about masculinity everyone needs to hear in this raw and, I truly believe, authentic series of 6 podcasts. We have 2 men who head up these conversations, Craig and Khalil, who start from the premise that true masculinity is a great gift to the world. While equally relevant to men and women, this podcast series provides profound insights into why men behave the way they do. It also unpacks the 3 core desires at the heart of every man, the question every boy needs answered on his journey to manhood, the 4 big lies about masculinity. Wonder what those are. And what wounds the masculine heart, and the 1 thing every man wants from women more than sex. Well, this is a podcast with many questions that will be answered. And
sounds like someone's dug deep on the prep side, because you're right. There are these myths, these masculinity myths, which are ruining young men who are so impressionable. And I don't know how to act on these things.
Look, I'm so ready for this. And what an apt time for this podcast series to be released. It's called Man to Man Talks. And it's brought to you by Carling Black Label. So drink responsibly, though. You know what that Carling does. It's not for sale to persons under the age of 18. And if you want to find out about this new podcast series, Man to Man Talks, find out more on the cliffcentral.com website. It will be premiering today. So keep your eyes and ears on cliffcentral.com.
And also, kudos to Black Label for getting behind something like this. They're not just strapping money into something looking for an ROI. I mean, this is a real genuine thing. They had that real big gesture sort of exhibition before the big Soweto Derby that they had, you know, about the whole respecting women at the FNB Stadium.
Uh-huh.
These guys are really putting a lot of thought, a lot of interest into how they go about sponsorships, and I think they really are adding something. So yeah, big ups to them.
Awesome.
That's our first hour.
Perfect. CliffCentral.com.